Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller. Really pleased to have you along today as we take a look at great greenery indoors and out. Karen Johansson of Johansson's Greenhouses in Madison, our guest today. She's been a guest many times in the past with us, and it's great to have her on as we get into the, we're now heavy into the holiday season. So it's great to talk with her about some of those indoor plants that you might have. Maybe we can talk about holiday gift ideas with her and certainly answer your questions when you call us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question, a comment, or a photo there. Karen Johansson, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Happy holidays to you.
Yes, to you as well. And I imagine there's lots going on at the greenhouses.
There is. This is really my favorite time of year. I love Christmas. I love the ornaments. And it's just really seriously my favorite time of year to work there. It's beautiful. We have one whole greenhouse of solid poinsettias. And they're just gorgeous. And they're so much fun. They come from a local family grower, multi-generational. I think they're on their fourth generation from downtown Milwaukee.
So they're grown right here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and they're beautiful plants. And I think they're some of the nicest poinsettias we've had. They come from Milwaukee, and we've got cyclamen that are just gorgeous. Cyclamen are those flowers that look kind of, I don't know, they come in purples and pinks, and they're very pretty. And those, you know, come from Deerfield.
Mm-hmm.
And, so much of our stuff is local. And then, of course, the Christmas trees. I love the way the place smells at this time of the year with the Christmas trees and the boughs and all of our greenery. And it's really my favorite time to work. And those actually come from Wisconsin, too. The Christmas trees are from a small family farm up in Black River Falls.
Oh, so it's everything...
Yeah.
Pretty much local at Johansson's.
At Christmas time, all that kind of stuff. You know, obviously not everything we sell is, but...
Sure.
It's fun. And then I don't know if people have never been in our store at Christmas time, they don't realize the ornament thing we do. My sister and I go down to Atlanta for a solid week every year in January, and all we do is buy Christmas ornaments, hand pick each one, and we have thousands of them. It's an amazing collection, and it's just because we like them. And I just love Christmas ornaments. And so anyways, if you're looking for a Christmas ornament, we've got them all. Things for like teachers and pet owners and just beautiful ornaments all over the world. We have some really cool ones from Ecuador this year that are made from a tagua nut. They look like ivory, German. It's just really fun.
Well, we have and it does sound like a lot of fun, and we have lots of callers online.
Well, cool.
To visit with you. So let's go to Sheree first in Waupun. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I start off by saying I know nothing about flowers.
Well, called the right place.
Right. But I did see some roses, some miniature roses that I named Rosie and Posey.
Okay.
That I got earlier this year. I transferred them from a smaller pot to a bigger pot,
mm-hmm.
pots, I should say. And I've been using Miracle-Gro because if I'm taking care of them, they need a miracle sucker.
That's okay.
But they've started losing their leaves
okay.
and all that. And yep. I'm assuming that's what they're supposed to do, but I really don't know.
Okay.
I brought them in the house.
Yep.
So it's so cold.
Right. Okay. So you grew them outdoors in a sunny spot for the summer, and then you brought them indoors in the fall?
Yes.
And they're in pots?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what you want to do with them is, at this point, grow them in the absolute sunniest window that you have. You could not give them too much sun. You could even supplement them with a grow light as well if you wanted to. Roses are very, very high light plants. You also want to give them very good air circulation because they are prone to leaf fungus. So you know, having a fan going in the room or something will help you. When you water them, you always want to feel the soil, obviously. They should feel dry to the touch between waterings. And then water them thoroughly, but really avoid getting any water on the leaves because that will also add to your fungus, powdery mildew problems.
Okay.
So just water the soil when necessary and then let them drain well. Having said all of that, they are going to lose leaves because they are very high light plants and they're not very happy living in your house right now. But that's all you can do is kind of just limp them along, cross your fingers, and they might do very well for you.
Sure.
And with the Miracle-Gro, I would back off on your fertilizer now that we're going into the shorter days of winter. Maybe use your Miracle-Gro, oh gosh, once a month at a low strength, I think would be plenty for you. And then you can step it up again in the spring when we start to get in a more active growing phase. So that would be the way to try to do it in the home. And then you're going to want to cut them back at some point. You know, if they have lots of blossoms on them and buds now, I would enjoy the blooms. But at some point, you're going to want to cut them back probably about halfway or a third of the way so they bush out. And I would say maybe, oh, I don't know, 1st of March, middle of February, at some point, because mm-hmm. otherwise you're going to get a very leggy plant. Now, having said all that, that's what you can try, and let's hope it works. Watch for insects. They can be very insect-prone to spider mite, and those things are treatable, but just keep at it. Look on the undersides of the leaves. Keep inspecting for anything sticky or aphids or spider mites have a real small web, and treat immediately if you see any signs of that. And then on a final note, there's also you could have possibly wintered them outdoors and let them go dormant. You know, and that would have meant you would have left them in the ground. They would have frozen up. You would have covered them with a winter mulch, crossed your fingers, hope they didn't winter kill, and then they would come up next spring. But at this point, I would not recommend doing the outside stuff. It's too late to,
yeah,
you know.
Too late for that.
But I think you've got a good chance of getting them through the winter if you've got the sun and you just keep an eyeball on them.
Good luck. Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For calling. Yeah, appreciate it. Faye in Hudson, it is your turn. Hi, Faye.
Hi. Question for you. This is about orchids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have a bunch of orchids that I finally have given up reblooming them.
Okay.
They have a maximum that they can rebloom if you have that option to do that.
Do you know the variety of the orchids that you have?
I do, but I'd have to go get the stick.
Phalaenopsis,
I'll bet.
Yep. Okay. The Phalaenopsis orchid is probably the easiest orchid to grow in the home because it likes the same types of conditions that we like. You want to put it in a window that gets a little bit of direct sun, but nothing hot. And the temperatures that particular orchid likes is somewhere like a 60, 65 degree night and a 70 to 80 degree day, which most homes, you know, if you turn your heat back up, that's why they do so well in the home. And so you can have a Phalaenopsis for years and years and years and years. And I've had them bloom, you know, once they start blooming to when they're end, I've had them bloom for 5-6 months at a time. And then, you know, they'll send up another bloom spike the following year. So sometimes I've had them bloom like, you know, half my year. And they don't have a lifespan, so to speak. They certainly could die if you got a disease or they weren't watered properly or whatever. But I don't, to my knowledge, know that they have a lifespan where they quit. I mean, I personally have had orchids for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years that are still blooming. You'll want to fertilize them a little bit. Are these orchids growing in bark or moss?
They're growing in bark.
Okay, in the bark mixes, you can use something like with a formula of like a 30-10-10, but they've kind of gotten away from that recommendation. Usually they're more recommending the orchid growers, and my husband is an orchid grower, so he's been more recommending 2020 in a very low base for the phalaenopsis in the bark and in the moss, as a matter of fact. You would probably want to repot them or have them repotted if you haven't done so for the last couple of years. How long has it been since they've bloomed?
It's been 2 years.
Yeah, I would probably recommend taking them in. Are you in Madison, or where do you...
No, I'm outside of Hudson.
Okay, well, what you may want to do is call around to your local garden centers and see if anyone there is experienced with repotting the phalaenopsis orchids and take them in and have them repotted. And the repotting isn't usually to put them in a bigger pot. It's to change the media, and that might help. And they may go back to a bark mix if they're using that, or they might go to a moss mix. The other thing you certainly could do is, I'm going to send you to this website, and it's called orchidsgardencenter.com. And if you go to that website, that's actually my husband's website where the business he works at, they'll have a really good phalaenopsis care sheet on their website. Now, their website's under construction right now, so if you don't get on it today, they've been having a couple issues, you know, check in a week or two. But orchidsgardencenter.com. And look at that, and that you should be able to get a lot of instructions if you want to try to repot it yourself.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Eve in Madison, it is your turn. Hi, Eve.
Hi there.
Thanks
Wonderful
for calling.
To talk to Karen.
Thanks Hello. For calling.
You bet. I like seeing you in your shop and taking home all your goodies, but now I have questions.
All right. Well, hopefully I'll know the answers for you.
Okay. Outdoors, I have hydrangea.
Okay.
Four of them. How do I take care of them through the winter?
Well, do these have white, pink, or blue flowers? We'll start there. Or do you know the variety?
I do not. There is it forever or evermore or ever blooming?
Endless
something?
Summer?
Endless summer, I bet.
There you go.
Endless summer. Okay, here's the deal on endless summer. Mm-hmm. That one will turn blue, I'm guessing, is what they told you, or has it ever bloomed for you?
It has bloomed sparingly.
And what color were the flowers?
White and pink.
Okay. Endless summer is a type of hydrangea that if it's grown in alkaline soils, and that's right. What our soils are in Madison if you don't amend them, and the flowers on that particular plant will be kind of a mauvish pink. If you treat the soil with acid amendment, then it will, aluminum sulfate is actually what you need. You need aluminum and it needs to be acidic. Then you can turn them blue. But here's the deal on endless summer. This is my personal feeling on it. When the plant came out, it was just touted to be the best thing
Everybody
since sliced bread.
Is, yeah.
Because supposedly it was supposed to bloom off of old wood, meaning, you know, if you pruned it back, it would bloom, you know, off of its old wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also supposed to bloom off of new wood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the deal. It doesn't bloom very well off of new wood. So what happens is when they freeze back over the winter, now you've got all this old wood and, you know, they just don't bloom very well. So where I'm going with this is I would only prune it enough to take off the old blooms and the dead flowers and such, or anything broken.
Okay.
And then I would try to mulch it with some winter mulch to try to protect as much of the old growth as you can so that it doesn't freeze back so far.
And would just regular leaves be okay,
well,
or do you want something else?
Leaves are nature's mulch, and they work really well sometimes, but sometimes they rot. What I would maybe do is take like a chicken wire thing and put chicken wire around it, and then I would tuck it lightly with like marsh hay or evergreen boughs. But I wouldn't do it now. You got to wait till the ground is thoroughly frozen, because if you do that now, you're going to have every mouse in town living in it. And they'll say, oh, that's really nice of you to make me this little house.
So after freeze.
After the ground is thoroughly frozen. So we might be talking January. And that hopefully will keep it from that freeze and thaw cycle, that it will protect some more of that old wood. Because if that old wood freezes back, it's not going to bloom as well. Now, there are other people that maybe grow this hydrangea and they don't do a thing to it, and it blooms like crazy, and hallelujah. But boy, that has not been my experience with that plant. But it's certainly beautiful when you're successful with them.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Eve.
Wait.
Oh, one more?
Indoor. Well, I even have two. It depends. Christmas cacti.
Uh-huh.
My old ones, benign neglect, has been wonderful. They bloom like crazy.
Uh-huh.
I just bought two new ones, and
uh-huh.
I brought them home, and the new buds are falling off.
Well, you know, here's the deal, is that sometimes you take a plant from one environment to the next,
yep.
and the buds blast. There's different varieties. Some are more sensitive to bud blasts than others.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the new ones you took home, they were wrapped a long time in shipment, and so the buds, you know, got a good dose of ethylene gas that they give off themselves.
Okay.
you know, when you got them, did you buy them from us?
Nope.
Okay, you know, which, you know, could happen from us. I mean, like, when you bought the thing.
I got them as a gift from somewhere else, yes.
Did you, you know, if they were wrapped a really long time in plastic, you know, like if you got them and you didn't unwrap them until the next day or something, that could accelerate that. Not a lot you can do at this point. Just put them in a cool room, bright window, let the soil feel dry between waterings, water when necessary. If you are successful getting them to bloom, or the ones that are blooming, once they're open all the way, if you move them out of the direct sun, the blooms will last longer. Mm-hmm. But to grow them, they want some direct sun.
Okay. One more question if you can.
You got it.
I pulled out Glad's, Canna's, and Calla lilies
yep.
from the ground.
Yep.
They're all dry. Now
yep.
what?
Now you want to keep them, ideally, if you had a root cellar, which nobody has anymore,
yeah.
You'd put them in your root cellar. You want to keep them in a place that's around 40 to 50 degrees. Refrigerator is typically too cold. You want to wrap them with some dry vermiculite or dry peat moss so that it keeps their moisture in, but yet they're still breathing. Not anything in plastic, because you would rot them very quickly. So sometimes open boxes, you know, you lay them in like an open flat box, you lay the bulbs down, and then you cover them with an inch of, you know, vermiculite or dry peat moss so that they still are breathing well. Sometimes, you know, if you're very diligent and watching the temperatures, you could keep them in the garage for most of the winter, but if they freeze once, they're done.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get that 20 degree blow plunge and your garage freezes. It's not a cumulative event. They freeze once, they're dead.
They're done.
But if you watch your weather real carefully and your temperatures, maybe the garage, or if you have a cool basement, and that's where you want to keep them, and you start them back up again in the spring.
And
the vermiculite's available at Johansson's, yes?
Yep, and peat moss, and you'd be able to get that just about any greenhouse. But yes, we have vermiculite mm-hmm. in stock, and we have peat moss in stock as well.
There you go.
I'll see your store later today.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot for calling. Karen Johansson of Johansson's Greenhouse is our guest. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest, Karen Johansson of Johansson's Greenhouses in Madison. We have a link to her greenhouses, as a matter of fact, on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can go there for that. Also, we were talking earlier about orchids, and we had the orchidsgardencenter.com. Judith is posting a link and already has posted a link. I think she's already posted a link. The link's not working yet, but she will post it, and we'll...
Yeah, their website was having some issues.
So we'll get it up. We'll get it
okay.
up. Okay. Betty in Eau Claire has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Betty.
Hi. About every Christmas, somebody gives you an amaryllis bulb. They're great fun to watch.
They're beautiful.
But does the bulb ever last? Like I've just thrown them afterwards.
Well, don't throw them. But if you don't want to grow it, give it to somebody that wants to. Literally, you can keep amaryllis for years and years. My husband, Chuck, we give his mother, well, we did every year, gave her an amaryllis. Well, now there's so darn many of them, we've had to stop because they've made babies. So what you want to do with the amaryllis bulbs is they're going to bloom in the winter, and then they're going to start sending up leaves. As soon as the bloom is finished and faded, you cut that bloom stalk off right at the where it comes out of the top of the bulb, but then you allow the bulb to grow all winter long, allow the leaves to grow in a sunny window, watering when necessary when the soil is dry. Then when we get into warmer weather at the end of May where it's not going to freeze anymore, you plant that thing. You can just, if it's in a clay pot, you can put it pot and all right in the ground. And you can put it right out in the sun. Sometimes they'll burn a little bit, but they'll recover, or half day sun at first if you want to acclimate it. You grow it all summer long in the garden. Fertilizing. Very important to fertilize it with something like a 20-20-20, like a balanced liquid fertilizer for the summer. Then about middle of September, 1st of October, you know, especially before we're going to get a hard frost, you gently dig the amaryllis up. You take it out of the pot. You gently shake the soil off the roots. You cut all the leaves off the top of the bulb, and the bulb's going to look like a big rutabaga. And you let it rest for a minimum of 2 months. And you want to let it rest in a cool spot, paper bag. You know, in a cool spot in the basement, in the garage, wherever. Just don't let it freeze. The refrigerator's too cold. And minimum of 2 months. 10 weeks would be better. And then you plant it up and start it over again. And what you're going to find when you dig them up in the summer, they make all these little babies. And it takes, you know, a few years for the babies to bloom. So you can either gently break the bulblets off and repot them and let them grow into bigger babies, or throw them out or whatever. So, you know, if you're one that just wants to enjoy the beautiful flower for the winter, instead of throwing it away, pass it on to somebody that would like to grow it, because they definitely are very successful. Yeah. And but it's not for everyone. Not everyone has a garden spot and doesn't want to mess with it.
There you go.
Great. I shall immediately remember to write notes and keep it for next year.
Great. Yeah. And if you, I think that's on our website. If you go to johansens.com, and that's johansens.com, and you go to gardening tips, okay. I'm like 99% sure our amaryllis bulb care sheet's on there. And if it isn't, send me an email and I will send you that care slip. And then also for the person with the orchid, because they can't get onto orchidsgardencenter.com, send me an email and I will get you their care sheet on their Phalaenopsis, and I will email that to you as well.
All right. There we go.
Be glad to hang on to them.
All right.
Thank you very much for calling, Betty. Appreciate it. And Jerry in Thorpe, it's your turn. Hi, Jerry.
Yes. Earlier in the show, Karen made a comment about using grow lights. Some lady brought her roses in.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was reading an article on LED lighting, and I just got wondering, has anybody done any research? Are LED lights effective as grow lights?
I don't know on the LEDs. You know, I did a term paper in college, which was way more years ago than what I'm going to admit to right now. But what I found on this term paper is that there's all kinds of different lights, and there's all kinds of different spectrums, and there's definitely better lights for different applications. But the one bottom line thing that I came up with after doing my 30-page term paper on growing plants under lights is that any kind of light is better than no light. Mm-hmm. Okay? So even if the spectrum isn't quite right, whatever, any kind of light is better than no light. So I don't know about supplementing how well with the LEDs. We have supplemented in our home. We had some plants that just needed more light, and so we had them in a window that got morning sun, but it just wasn't enough.
Not quite enough.
So we just supplemented them with an incandescent spotlight bulb and a cheap, one of those cheap clamp-on fixtures you can get at any hardware store. And it was like a 75-watt incandescent spot bulb, nothing special about it. But just make sure you don't get it too close to the plant because of the heat, and it'll burn. But, of course, those aren't as energy efficient as the LEDs. But and those worked great because the incandescents are really, really high in red wavelengths. And then if you have any fluorescent bulbs in your house, those are really high in blue wavelengths. So the two mixed together, you know, made an awesome combination. But on the LEDs, I haven't investigated.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling, Jerry. And have a Facebook question from Judy who says, I have a flowering maple that I love, and I've been trying to start new ones from the seeds, but no luck. Any ideas?
I don't know on starting those from seed. I'm sure it's possible because the seeds are there. Now, whether or not they're going to grow and be true to color, because they could be a hybrid. In other words, your seeds might germinate and you might have some short ones and some tall ones and some variegated ones and some green ones, if they're hybrids. I don't know what the trick is to getting the seeds to germinate. There are literally books and books and books on certain types of plants and whether or not they need to be stratified, meaning do they need to be cooled, you know, do they need to be treated with anything, scarified. So that, I would Google that. When we grow them at the greenhouse, we get them in plugs. So they've been, and those, I think the plugs probably started from seeds, so I know it's possible, but they also might have been vegetatively, you know, from cuttings. But I know when we get them in, they're little baby plugs, and we finish them. So I just don't know on starting the seeds without looking at a seed package. And we might have a seed package of them even at the greenhouse that I could flip over and look at, too. I just don't know off the top of my head.
We have Seal in Gurnee, Illinois, next with a question or comment. Hi, thank you for calling, Seal.
Hi, I have a number of questions. The first one is, how do you overwinter geraniums? I've been in facilities where they'll all be blooming, you know, over the winter.
Yep. Well, there's a couple different schools of thought on that. Now, if you have a really sunny window, geraniums will bloom all winter long, and they're just lovely. And you just throw them in the window, water them when they need it. Check them, you know, once or twice a week, water when the soil's dry, throw some fertilizer on them once in a while, and they're good to go. And enjoy them. What you might want to do if you want to make babies to put out in the spring, then what you might want to do from those plants then is, about the 1st of March, take cuttings of the tips of those plants, like maybe 3-4 inches of the nice green succulent growth. Pinch off all the buds, and then start your little cuttings in a plant media like a vermiculite, perlite, or peat moss mix, and you put that, you know, like in a sunny window or under grow lights, and you make your little babies. Because the mother plants, sometimes once they get really woody, they quit blooming, you know. So that way you can make your new little babies and have them ready to put out. The other way to overwinter geraniums is to dig the whole thing up, gently shake off all the dirt, cut it back about halfway, put it in a paper bag, hang it upside down, and put it in a cool spot, a basement. Again, that 50-degree root cellar that none of us has. And you let them sit that way, kind of in suspended animation. They're not necessarily dormant, but they're just hanging there literally all winter long. And then, again, about March 1st, you pot them up and you put them in a sunny window and you start growing them. And that's the other way to winter them. So both ways can be successful. And you just have to kind of experiment and see what works best for you.
And thanks a lot for calling. You know, I know some people who actually have built an area in their basement where they've actually insulated it off and just to sort of make a root cellar in their basement to keep the kind of the heat out and stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's just because now our homes luckily are a lot much more insulated than what they were for our heating bills, but we don't have cold basements anymore.
No. So they're trying to get the to get it cooler in those areas. And
yeah.
It can work. It can work.
Yeah, it certainly can.
And we had, I think our caller, we lost our caller. So let's go to Faye in Milwaukee. Hi, Faye. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, I guess. Two questions. I have an old rhododendron that I've had for years, and last year, I lost about 2/3 of it with the ice.
No.
And, I cried.
I'll bet. A beautiful rhododendron is really priceless.
And, well, my first question is asking you what I can do for that. And I've had, I'm a pretty serious gardener, and I've never done anything. My second question, posed by my sister, was, she took in a potato vine because it was so beautiful.
Sure. A sweet potato vine?
Yes.
Yes.
Those chartreuse ones.
Yep.
And
yep.
She said, in the soil were all these potatoes.
Yep.
You know? Can you plant those and get a new plant?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good.
You can cut them up and...
Okay.
You know, yeah.
We kind kind of figured they're
I thought
like,
you were going to ask me if you could eat them, and I wasn't going to say yes or no.
No, but it's just, I was thinking with regular potatoes that would work. But,
yep.
Okay, what would you recommend with the rhododendron?
Well, I would, just when we get to spring, I would just prune it back really heavily and shape it. And obviously you're going to cut all your flower buds off. Now, if it looks like in spring you've got a lot of buds that are going to bloom, you certainly could wait and enjoy those blooms. And then as soon as it's finished blooming, then, you know, just do some dramatic pruning, shaping, and hopefully it'll, you know, it'll come back eventually.
You did. I'm asking a preventative question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Should I put some... you know, a cage around it with leaves.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand the question. Oh, okay.
To prepare it.
Well, you know, every winter is different. The problem is, I don't know that I would necessarily recommend putting, I mean, if you put a cage around it, sure, that allowed it to breathe. I wouldn't stuff it full of anything too much because they want to breathe. That would hold up ice that would be like a chicken wire wood structure. But I just think the ice would get in there anyways because it needs to breathe.
Well, basically, probably I should just watch it and don't, you know, instead of sitting inside when we have the storm, I should get out there and brush the snow gently off.
Well, yeah, that works when it snows. But an ice storm, there's just not a whole lot you're going to be able to do. But, yes, that's what you want to do when it snows. I've got this huge hedge of arborvitas, you know, where I was all last winter and the winter before and the winter before, you know, you got to just get out there while the snow is still fluffy and get it off of there. Otherwise, it's going to break everything.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And by the way, you can join in as well with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can certainly post a question or even post a photo. We'd like to see some, it'd be fun to see some plant photos as well. Nancy in Grafton, your turn. Hi, Nancy.
Well, good morning. On December 10th, back in 2000, our son Leo drowned in the river here in Grafton.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, somebody gave us a hibiscus plant for the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I have kept this hibiscus plant going now. It'll be 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's upstairs. It's cool up there, and leaves are all falling off.
Yep.
But it's still got a couple blossoms on it. And, you know, every time I see that blossom, I say, oh, hi, Leo.
That's right.
You know, it's like he's there. And in the summertime, I take it and I put it out in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I still have it in a pot,
mm-hmm.
but I bury it in the ground.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, maybe I should prune this baby back pretty good, and maybe I should put it in a bigger pot and put new soil in. What do you think?
Well, I have similar things. My plants don't have the sentimental value that yours do, but I have three giant hibiscus that some of them are 30 years old that I put out in my front yard, sink them in the pot in the ground so they don't tip over, and then they get to winter in the garden center. And even in the garden center in the greenhouse, they drop all their leaves and they're really unhappy and they're messy. But yes, so it's a very successful thing that you can do. What I typically do is I like to cut them back about the middle of January by February 1st. And I like to take them back about a third to a half. And it's painful to do it because at the time they're full of flower buds. But the hibiscus bloom off of their new shoots and you're going to have a much more beautiful plant for having done it. If you wait longer, like you could prune it back, you know, April 1st. But the problem is that then when by the time you put it out and we have the best time to grow it in the summer and enjoy it, it won't bloom for you till August. So if you want it to bloom during the summer. So, you know, sometime in January or February, I would definitely prune it back rather severely. You certainly could do it now, but the thing about doing it right now is it's going to start growing all of a sudden. And I'd rather see you wait to prune it when the days are going to start getting a little bit longer and brighter so that the new growth that comes on is a little bit stronger. I don't fertilize them much all winter. Really back off on that maybe every 6 weeks. And then I start cranking the fertilizer about the 1st of March. And then when it's time, I put it outside, and I, you know, in the, at the beginning, half day sun for a week or two, and then move it right out in the full sun, and they do beautifully all summer. As far as repotting it, that I would leave up to how often you need to water it. I wouldn't repot it now. We're going into short days. If anything, it's not going to use as much water. I would hate to see you get it too wet because the plant's not growing as quickly and you're going to water it. So if you think it needs a bigger pot, certainly repot it, but I would do that when you're ready to put it outside for the summer.
Thank you.
Thank you
very
much.
You are very welcome.
Thank you for
calling. Good luck with your plant. They're wonderful.
We have a Facebook question from Karen in Madison. I brought my potted stevia, one of them in the same pot as lemon verbena, fabulous tea combination. I brought them into the garage a couple of weeks ago in Madison. I have only east and west facing windows, those with overhang, ergo no direct sunlight. Mm-hmm. Would it be better to let them go dormant in the garage? They're still green, or bring them in? What are good management tips for either situation?
All right, I'm going to shoot in the dark here. I don't think that if you let the stevia and the lemon verbena go semi-dormant, I don't think they're coming back. I'd have to look that one up. We sell both of those, and typically, you know, they grow beautifully all summer long, and they're both super easy. But I don't think you can let them go dormant. So I think you're going to need to put them in a sunny window. And now you just said you didn't have a sunny window. So what I would do is put them in the sunniest window you have, and I'd supplement them with some lights. And when I say that, you know, you can just get these spotlights and put on there, put them on a timer and have the lights beyond 10, 12 hours a day, along with your natural sunlight. And that can work. And see how you go, and, you know, cross your fingers, clip off them, use it as you want. And if the plant dies, well, then throw it out and you get a new one next spring. You know, you're not out too much, you know, for your effort. But that would be my recommendation without looking into that a little bit further.
And just regarding light, an email from Eric, who's a photographer, to follow up on the LEDs.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
They're very, very blue LEDs.
Oh.
So you'd probably want to combine with a tungsten or standard household.
Yeah, right? Any incandescent bulb would be really high in the red, so you'd be good. Oh, well, thanks, Steve.
Yeah, nice to have that.
Yeah.
Mary and Madison, we'll get to you in just a minute, but just to remind everybody, you are listening to Karen Johansson today. Doesn't she have a lot of great information and great answers to your questions? Join in with a question that you might have at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or on my Facebook page. Go there and click like while you're there, as a matter of fact. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. Click like, post a question, send a photo. We'd love to hear from you and see those pictures. Here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you along on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Karen Johansson. Another question relating to care of jade and aloe plants. Caller doesn't really have very good luck with them. They aren't very robust. Is there anything special with jade or aloe vera plants?
Very high light plants, so if you don't have a real sunny window, they're not going to do well. Otherwise, easy to grow, long-lived plants. I mean, you can have jades for 50 years. A sunny window, dry between waterings, small pots, don't overpot them. Literally, you repot them when they're busting out of the pots. When you do, use a cactus mix. You know, they don't mind being a little cool at night, 55-ish. Put them outside in the summer if you don't have, you know, enough light. But when you do that, you just keep in mind that if you're taking a plant from inside to outside, you don't stick it out in the hot sun, even if it's a high light-loving plant, because you'll sunburn it. So if you wanted to put your jade out for the summer or your aloe out for the summer, you'd start out with just filtered, dappled sun. Morning sun and grow it that way, and probably all summer that way, and it'd probably do a lot better out there than it's going to do in your home. So those would maybe be some tips. If you don't have a sunny window, though, or you don't want to supplement with artificial light, just give it to somebody that does, because otherwise they're just not going to do well for you.
Mary and Madison, on to you. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. I have a question about my limelight hydrangeas.
Mm-hmm.
They, first of all, they love my yard. They're so happy here.
Oh, great.
So we had such a wonderful fall, and they turned every single color they possibly could this fall. What I've done, I've left the brown blossoms on the. I didn't trim them back this fall.
Okay.
Was that a mistake?
I don't know.
Oh, nuts.
It's something that you could just give me a call at the greenhouse or email me. There's so many different varieties of hydrangeas, and the Limelight is a panicle type, and I'm drawing a blank. If I had to guess, I would say that one blooms on old growth, meaning you only want to prune back anything that's dead. But as soon as I say that, there's somebody screaming at the radio going, no, she's wrong. So, and if it's a, you know, like the basic white hydrangeas, those are the kind that you can just prune to the ground and they bloom off a new growth. So I have to look it up. I just don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
So, and if you just want to email me, I can find that out for you. And it's either just tip it, or take off the dead stuff, or prune it all the way back. And it just depends what growth it blooms off of. And I think
I know I've pruned them back in the past.
And what happened?
They're fine.
Okay, so when you pruned them, what time of the year did you prune them?
In the fall.
And how far back did you prune them?
Maybe a third.
And then did they bloom for you next spring?
Yes.
Well, there's your answer. Then they bloom off of new growth. So, yeah, I think you did the perfect thing.
But this year I left the blossoms on. Can I prune them? Then should I prune them back, like in March or? February?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter when you prune them.
Okay.
So if you like the way those dead blossoms look, which they're kind of attractive, and for winter interest.
Yeah, winter interest.
And then just double check it. What some of the recommendations? Do they say prune it halfway? Do they say take it all the way to the ground? Because a lot of the hydrangeas that bloom off of new growth, you can take all the way to the ground, but I have read and found personally that if you leave them about halfway, the stems are stronger, and you don't have to stake them up. So just, you know, like I said, I'd be happy to double check that for you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yep. You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
And Cassie in Winchester, Wisconsin, on to you now. Hi, Cass.
Whoops.
Oh, lost Cassie. Let's try Bridget in Madison. Hi, Bridget.
Hello.
Hey,
I have a similar question to one you kind of got. I have an expensive hosta plant that I got and that I never, like a big elephant ear, that I never got in the ground.
Okay.
And now I can't tell in my little hosta garden where I should put the bigger hosta plant, and I don't know if it's too late to do it. Should I just compost it, or can I put it in a corner somewhere and hope that it winters? I mean, it's just in the pot all yellow and...
Oh, okay. Now you
but
said
it's alive. I watered it all.
Okay. Now you said hosta and elephant ear. Now are we talking a hosta or are we talking an elephant ear?
Oh, I thought elephant ear was a type of hosta.
It could be, but
could
there's
be.
Also
that's
a
what I think.
There's also a bulb that's an elephant ear, which is a type of alocasia, which is not winter hardy here, and you wouldn't put it outside. That was why I just wanted to. Okay. If we're talking a type of
It's a type of hosta.
Okay.
With great big leaves.
I would probably, because the ground isn't frozen, I would just plant it where you want it and water it in thoroughly and
just hope.
Yeah, and they're pretty tough. Now, if you don't know where you want it, we've wintered hostas successfully right in the pots. I mean, not always, but I would wait till the pot is thoroughly frozen, and then I would cover it with a bunch of evergreen boughs to keep that pot frozen so it doesn't freeze and thaw all winter.
Okay.
And but definitely, I'd put it outside. I mean, you could try wintering it in your garage, but then you got to remember to water it once in a while, because even though it doesn't look like it's living, there's still stuff going on in there.
Okay.
But if you know where you want to plant it, I would just go ahead and plant it, water it in thoroughly. Maybe once the ground freezes, throw some evergreen boughs over the top of it to keep it from heaving out of the ground because it's not rooted very well. Cross your fingers, and it'll probably come up just fine.
Maybe I should just guess where it should go and do that. But can I ask one other quick question?
Sure.
Do you know, we have a house with like a 200-year-old maple that we built an addition around this maple to save it, probably 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And what's happened is I think a great big root probably died, so there's a big limb in the middle of it that is you know, looks just doomed. And when it loses all the leaves, it's foreboding. But each spring, the whole rest of the tree leafs out. And I had, like, Bruce Allison's guy or somebody that he recommended come out many years ago and trim it back. But if I were to have somebody come and take a big limb, it seems like I remember they would need, like, a big bucket truck, I think, to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you wait, like, till your ground is frozen? Can you do that in the middle of winter? Or what? I just don't want to cut this whole tree down because it's, like, you know, it takes four people to get around it.
Right. I'm 99% certain you certainly can cut a maple at any time, but I don't know for sure. Bruce Allison is an arborist. That would be my guy. If you're familiar with him, and I would take his recommendation and or any arborist.
Okay.
Any reputable tree service, not some guy with just a chainsaw and a truck.
Sure.
Make sure he's an arborist that he can, you know, knows what he's doing. And I'm not sure of the optimal time to cut a maple.
Okay. Yeah. Because see, we called Bruce back in when we did the addition to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Yep.
So it's been many years, and now.
Yep. Well, there's other arborists too.
Sure.
And are you local in Madison?
Yeah.
Just look in the phone book. There's several of them listed in the yellow pages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's you know that have tree services. And it's under arborists.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. No, thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot for calling. And I think they can do that pretty much any time.
Yeah.
Probably not spring.
It's not spring because I'm wondering if the sap would run.
Yeah.
See, again, I'm not an arborist. I, you know a little bit about a lot of things, but that's not what I know.
Well, let's see what Susan's got here. Susan, hello.
Hi. I have a question about chryssanthemums.
Sure.
Okay. I bought one of those beautiful blooming chrysanthemums for the fall and figured I'd winter it in the house. But I've had so many varying, people have told me so many different things.
Uh-huh.
I just was wondering if there's a definitive answer. Like they've said, well, people throw them away, you know,
right.
Them on the curbside. And
right.
So that's my question. Can I winter this plant and then plant it in the spring in the yard? That was what my hope was.
I doubt if you keep it growing all winter long that it's going to, first of all, survive the winter. And if it does, I'm really thinking it isn't going to ever bloom. I think your best bet would be to plant it right now, keep it watered until the ground freezes, put a little extra mulch on it, like, a shovel full of dirt, and then cover that with evergreen boughs after it's frozen. Say a little prayer and hope it comes up.
So are they really just growing for looks?
Here's the deal on hardy mums. Is the ones you plant in the spring, you buy the little babies, they're in a 4-inch pot, you stick them in the spring, you pinch them a few times, they've had all summer to establish, and they're pretty winter hardy. The ones you buy in the fall are treated with growth regulators, so they grow and they bloom and they look really cute in those cute little pots, and they, you know, you buy them for $5. I don't even know how the growers can afford to grow them for that, seriously, for what the time is put into them. So most people use them like an annual.
Okay.
You know, they just put them in the fall and they throw them. But having said that, you certainly, I would say plant them, you know, we're not talking now because it's December, but I mean, had you planted it in August or September, early October when you got it, I'd say without doing anything to the thing, you'd have a 50-50 chance of it making it over the winter, depending on the winter. And it's kind of one of those things, we recommend a winter mulch if you want some added insurance. Once you get one of those mums through the winter, they're pretty winter hardy, and they keep coming back for years and years. Expect it to be taller because it won't be treated with growth regulators. So if it does make it through the winter, it's going to start growing. You're going to want to pinch it back a couple times to get it to branch, doing your last pinch at about the 4th of July. That way you'll allow it to bloom for fall.
Okay. So there's no way you can winter it in the house.
I doubt it.
No.
Okay.
You try it, but I doubt it.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Karen, I was just looking, as you were talking, I was looking at a couple of the Christmas ornaments that you brought in. They're beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Those are gorgeous.
That is our series. It's our Madison series, and it's our 15th year. And if people are curious, they can go to our website, johansons.com, and it's right on the index page to see our Madison ornaments. What the deal is there's a company out on the East Coast, and we send her photographs of different things in Madison, and then we have an idea, and then she'll sketch out a couple ideas, and then we tweak that a little bit, and then she sends us a prototype. And then they have these beautiful ornaments made. They're exclusive to Johansson's. They're limited edition.
They're really pretty.
And this is our 15th year. Now, this year's actually is the first Christmas theme that we've done for the Christmas ornament. And it's called Christmas in Madison. And it's the rendition of the state capitol with Santa and his reindeer, the silhouette of Santa and his reindeer flying over the capitol in front of the moon. But we've done all other things in Madison. Like last year, we did the coal center. The year before that, we did one that was called Campus Life, which was kind of a compendium.
I have that one in front of me.
That one I brought, yeah. I have Bascom Hall, Abe has Carolyn Towers, a Red Gym. We've done 15 of them. They are so cool. We did the Farmer's Market. We've done Monona Terrace. They're cool ornaments. You can only get them at Johansson's. They're really fun to send to people that are from our city. Yeah, so I thought I'd bring you and Judith can fight over which one you want.
Karen Johansson of Johansson's Greenhouses in Madison, our guest on Garden Talk. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and for this edition of Garden Talk, we visit with Karen Johansson of Johansson's Greenhouses in Madison. Always great to have her along. I tell you what, if you want to know a little more about them, you can go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We've got a link to Johansson's Greenhouses, and you can get a whole lot more information right there. We have lots of callers online with questions for you already, Karen.
Great.
So let's go to Dolores in Kenosha. Hi, Dolores.
Oh, good afternoon. Really enjoying your program.
Thank you.
I have a suggestion for the person who was talking about growing the aloe or the jade plants and doesn't have enough sun, I suggest Haworthia if you want something organic looking, because it's a spiky plant and it's very forgiving.
Yep, Haworthia.
It's the only plant I've ever had looking through all my literature that says do not feed.
Yeah, they don't like my, you know, but they're cactus and succulent, and they actually appreciate more light too. But like you said, they're so small, you can kind of get by with it because they don't get that big floppy growth.
Well, I have them in the north window.
And they're doing well for you?
Oh, the east window.
Oh, east gets that morning sun, yeah.
You know, it does well. In fact, they get to a certain size, which doesn't have to be very large, and they flower.
Yep. You must keep your home cool at night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much cool all the time.
Yeah, that's what stimulates them into blooming. Well, great. They're a wonderful plant. And, yeah, we always try to stock a few.
My question was about, I'd like to get a plant back in my bathroom. And it's on the west side of the house. But, of course, the windows are frosted. There's one window, and it's frosted.
Okay.
So that kind of dims the light. And then we do leave the light on all night long so people can get there safely at night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that's typical to office light. I mean, you know, we have offices that plants will live for years, and they've never seen natural sunlight their whole life. And the ones you want to try are the pothos, or pothos, however you want to pronounce it.
How's that spelled?
P-O-T-H-O-S. And it's, you know, usually the yellow and green variegated one.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think it's philodendron, but it isn't. Philodendron is the one that looks just like it, only with the solid green leaf. Those are the viney ones. Some upright plants would be the sansevieria or snake plant, Chinese evergreen, also known as aglaonema. The lucky bamboos, which are a type of dracaena. So there's lots of plants. I would get things that are labeled for low light, because I would consider that low light. And when you're growing in that situation, just keep in mind that the plants are not growing quickly. You're just trying to sustain them.
Right.
So don't overwater them. Most people have, not most, but some people have a tendency to put their plants in too large of pots. And what happens is, as you go to water that, the water gets on that soil and it sits there and it saturates the roots and then things rot. You want to be watering your plants in general here, that just enough that the plant uses the water up within a week. If it takes longer than a week for your plant to be asking for water again, then you're giving it too much at one time, or you might consider putting it in a smaller pot. You know, yes, it's ideal to be able to water thoroughly and have the water come out the bottom and all of that. But in low light, sometimes you just can't do that, because if you do, it's going to end up getting too wet and you're going to rot the roots. So it's definitely possible. There's lots of plants you certainly could try there. Things labeled for low light. Just keep in mind that they might not live forever and they're going to get a little stringy looking. But you know what? If you get 2-3 years out of them, you certainly got your money's worth.
Yep.
In offices where we had plants and we needed to maintain a really high standard when we were doing plant maintenance, but we had things that got absolutely no natural light, and we would sometimes plan a 9-month rotation. Sometimes we'd get 2 or 3 years out of things, but other times we'd rotate them out in 9 months. So just depends how high your standards are and how good and compact they need to look.
You know what? That most of the plants that you listed are, they're readily available, and
yep,
they're not expensive plants.
That's right. That's right. And you know, there's just there's lots of choices for that, and just keep things basically on the dry side. And yeah, those are all pretty easy to grow plants. And there's more that I listed as well.
Thanks, Dolores. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We had a Facebook question from Anthony who says, "I have crawl space under my home. How do I build a small root cellar?"
I don't know. I'm a plant person. Construction's not my forte. I think, though, the things you'd want are that it has to be able to breathe, so you don't have a bunch of mold in there, and it has to be able to not freeze. And so I don't know, depending, you know, if you needed to put a little heater in there or whatever, but that wouldn't be a good question for me to answer.
We'll have to ponder that. There's got to be something online about
that. Oh, sure.
That. We have an email from Brenda in Sturgeon Bay. "I have a knockout rose bush I brought from Florida the past spring.
Uh-huh.
Went through a bout of shock, but came back in late August. What should I do, or should I have done, to keep it for winter? I was also wanting to bring back another one when we go back this month to Florida. How do I keep that one until the weather warms up?"
Well, okay, I'm assuming it's still green and growing and in the house. So,
yeah,
you know, at the very first call, if they were listening, you know, grow it this winter in a really sunny window. Cross your fingers, cut it back, and plant it in the spring. Your other option would be to try to plant it out now. But, boy, I think trying to plant it out now, you're going to lose it. The third option would be leave it in the pot and winter it in an unheated garage. That will keep it from the real extreme sub-zero temperatures, remembering to water it once in a while when the soil gets really dry, and then plant it out in the spring and see what happens.
Follow-up on the limelight hydrangea comment from Marilyn. Limelight hydrangeas can be pruned anytime, blooms on new growth, and you had mentioned that already.
Great. Thanks, Marilyn.
And Carol says, from Viroqua, "When I dug my canna lilies, it was very wet outside and have a big dried ball of clay on them now. Do I need to knock that off and store them bare root?"
I would, yeah. And
it'll be a problem to get it done now. But
well, just gently, just knock them off. And yeah, typically when we recommend digging up any summer bulb, you kind of dig them up and you gently knock off the soil and you let them lay out on some newspapers for a week, you know, and kind of dry up. And I would gently knock that off and then pack them in dry peat moss or vermiculite. And again, not plastic bags, not plastic containers. I like to use cardboard boxes that are actually open on the top. Now, cannas are pretty darn tough, and we've actually wintered those by not doing anything. Just put them in an onion bag.
Yep.
And hang them in a cool spot and didn't pack them in anything, and they've gotten by just fine. But don't let them freeze.
Cassie in Winchester, Wisconsin, on to you. Hi, Cassie.
Hi. Hi. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good. Well, I'm worried about my forsythia bush. It's getting older. I really haven't paid it much attention. It's getting tall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how I care for it.
Well, it's planted outdoors, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, just checking. they bloom in the early spring, so I would allow it to bloom and enjoy the flowers. And then as soon as it's done blooming, I would do what's called renewal pruning. And I would go in and I would take out 1/3 of the oldest, heaviest canes from the base of the plant to thin it. And then I would also top it and take it down in height and, you know, not just like a haircut, but maybe stagger it a little bit, because just know that every place where you cut is where your new growth is going to come out. That's why you just don't want to go and do the haircut method. Otherwise, that's where all the new growth is going to come out, and you're going to have a funny-looking plant. So you do this renewal pruning and kind of thin it, 1/3 of the growth from the base, and then also take it down from the height. And it'll come back, fertilize it this summer, and, you know, they set their buds in the fall, and then, you know, they bloom in the spring.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling. And Larry in Madison, your turn. Hi, Larry.
Good afternoon. I've got a clematis plant. The rootstock is 50 years old. It's been in the family for quite a while.
Oh, wow.
And I've transplanted it twice since 77,
mm-hmm.
and it's always done well. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to pass a portion of it on to my daughter who lives in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to transport and get that down there, and will it survive the difference in temperature? It's always been in Wisconsin.
I don't know if clematis like to live in Georgia. I have no idea. I don't ever remember seeing clematis growing when I lived in northern Florida, so I don't know the answer to that question. As far as packing it, when we get them in, we used to get them bare root, little cuttings, and they were wrapped like kind of in moist newspaper, and we'd always get them in the spring. So I don't know exactly how the nurseries would exactly. I'm guessing they would grow them and they'd cut them and they'd put them in their little root pack. So now wouldn't be the time. You know, the other option would be if you find out that Georgia is conducive to growing a clematis, you could in the early spring go in with a sharp shovel and just go down and just, you know, get a chunk of it.
I was thinking about April.
Yeah, yeah. But before I do that, you know, I would just call a garden center in Georgia and ask them if clematis grow there.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Sharon in St. Francis. Hi.
Yes, hi. Oh, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about clematis, just as the other did. Can I cut it down? I have never cut one down before, but this one has gotten so just messy.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the deal on clematis. You can cut them back at any time. You know, like usually people cut them back in the early spring. And it isn't going to hurt the plant. But some clematis bloom on old growth and some bloom on new growth, just like we've been talking about the hydrangea. And so if you prune one back rather severely, that is an old wood bloomer, you just wouldn't get many blooms the first year. But I would wait and do it in the spring. Do you know the variety offhand?
No, that's the problem. It's a deep purple, but, you know, and I think it does come out from the old growth.
Well, does it bloom on the new tips, though, too? Is it Jackmannii? Does that sound familiar?
No, it's not that kind.
Okay, because Jackmannii is a really common, beautiful purple one, and that one, usually the recommendation is to take it back to about a foot every spring. So, like I said, you could, it's not going to kill it by cutting it back in the spring. It's just you might limit your blooming.
But I couldn't cut it back now.
Well, you could, I suppose. You know, the thing about cutting things back in the fall is that there's A lot of gardeners like to cut back in the fall, like roses and different plants, and it all works just great. But our theory on cutting things in the fall, like roses and then the clematis, is it leaves the canes open, so to speak, going into the winter. And they're going to die back a certain amount anyways. And so we kind of like to wait and cut back in the spring to see where your growth is and how much is alive. Now, having said that, perennials that die back to the ground, you know, most all your other perennials, you know, like your daylilies and your hosta and your echinacea and all that other stuff. I just take a lawnmower to them in the fall and mine are gone. But on the clematis, I probably, I don't know, the recommendation is typically spring.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'll go with your recommendation.
But the other thing I do want to add is there's no 100% this is always right answer, you know, and it's kind of just doing what works best for you.
Well, I went to the library and looked through the gardening books, and nobody gave me any information, so thank you for yours.
Oh, that's odd. Yeah, that's weird, because, yeah, they should have information on pruning clematis. That's weird. Okay.
Thanks, Sharon. Thank you very much for calling. And an email from Deb in Chippewa Falls. Can I control my cactus blooms? I leave it out all summer and bring in when the temperature gets dangerous, no artificial light, but I get blooms at Thanksgiving, and then it's all done blooming. Mm-hmm. Any variables for blooming later, or do I have a Thanksgiving cactus?
Well, here's the deal. Is, you know, Thanksgiving cactus, Christmas cactus, what is it? Well, these are like probably zygocactus or Schlumbergia. There's two different genuses, and they bloom according to the length of the day. And in this part of the world, if they are dark when the sun goes down and light when the sun comes up, they typically bloom around Thanksgiving because that's just the length of the day and that's what stimulated them to bloom. So that's why we've kind of gotten away from calling them Christmas cactuses. We call them Thanksgiving cactus just because that's when they tend to bloom. Yes, you can manipulate when they're going to bloom by shading them and having different lengths of the nighttime, but that's getting a little more technical. And then there's a whole other kind of cactus, which is called a spring cactus, which is an entire different genus, and that one does bloom in the spring, and it's, again, it's day length sensitive, but it's a different genus. So the short answer is, yes, you can do it, but the long answer is you have to manipulate the length of the night, and growers do that very well, and I can't tell you, let me think. If you wanted it to bloom later, you would need to give it a longer day. So instead of when it gets dark at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock and the days start shortening, have artificial light come on till maybe 6 or 7,
mm-hmm.
and then put a box over the top of it so it's solid dark until the sun comes out. So you would have to make it think it's getting a longer day later into the season, and then it'll bloom later for you.
All right. Well, let's turn to Deborah in Brown Deer. Deborah, hi.
Hi. I just want to say when I had a friend who managed Lexco Tile across the street from your greenhouse, I would go in to your store and spend hours. And
oh, thank you.
I loved it. But I purchased a church bird feeder, and I wish I had kept it, but I mounted it in the backyard of my friend out in Aaron. I hope it's still serving its purpose, but it was beautiful.
Oh, good.
But, and I wanted to ask you, do you think that the lady who called about the rhododendron, trying to keep it warm, I do everything. I throw blankets on my stuff. But do you think if she cut a piece off and used rooting hormone to try and start another plant, that would be a way of preserving it if the other one died?
Well, after we got into her question, I thought it was, I thought her question is, what am I supposed to do with the one that got damaged with the ice? But then it seemed to me, unless I misunderstood, that her question was how to prevent getting it to be ice damaged again this year, and should she build it a little house or something to keep the ice off of it? And that's kind of one of those Mother Nature things, if we knew what the weather was going to do. I think that was her question. But to answer your question, yes, you can root rhododendron, but when you're trying to root something woody like that, it's a little more difficult, and I would do early tip cuttings in the spring. But those types of plants are a little harder to root.
I have another comment. We have a dead Schwedler maple. It's been dead for quite a while. I want to the person who called about the maple tree. I was thinking I had this down on my notes before she called, but it's been the most fun and exciting event for me for bird watching, to see this dead Schwedler become a home to a family of four woodpeckers, and now one of the kids has comes back, and they are just, the nuthatches love it. It's food for everybody, and constructing, like making a sculpture out of that.
Yeah, I have a little kind of a small wooded area right off my house, and having the dead trees in there are nice. The only thing is if the maple is really large, I hope it doesn't fall on your house.
Yeah.
So that would be the only consideration I would have by keeping up a dead tree.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is far away. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, then they're fun. I agree. Yeah. I totally agree.
Thanks, Deb. Thank you very much for calling. Jerry in Portage, it's your turn. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for taking my call,
sure.
Karen. I have a quick question regarding Rose of Sharon bushes.
Mm-hmm.
I have six of them.
Okay.
They were all transplanted roughly bare root from residents down in by Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
And two of them have been in the ground about 5 years, the other four about three. They blossom every spring.
Great.
And seem to be hardy. My question is, if I want to prune those down to try to encourage lateral growth and get more flowers, is there a way of doing that? And also, do you know if those plants, will they propagate new shoots out of the main root ball, or do they run out like rhizomes and then come up?
Well, the Rose of Sharon, the botanical name on that is Althea, and it's kind of like, is it a perennial, which dies all the way to the ground, or is it a woody shrub, which drops its leaves and comes back from the leaves? It's kind of one of those half and half plants. Sometimes they die to the ground, sometimes they don't. I don't know the answers to your questions. I'm very familiar with the plant, but we don't carry that one, and I've never personally grown it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a beautiful plant, so to answer some of your questions about pruning it and training it, I don't know. I'd have to look that one up. Yeah, I can take a pass.
Thanks, Jerry, for calling. Appreciate your call. And, Karen, we've got, we got the holiday season here. We were talking earlier about these ornaments that you got, and you've got a lot of gift things at Johansson's as well.
We do. We're open 362 days a year, and a lot of people think we're just a spring place. And lots of art. Nobody has more ornaments than we do. If someone does, I want to see the store. But other gift things for gardening, practical gifts, pruning shears, gardening gloves, things just to brighten the garden, wind chimes, bird baths, little bunny sculptures, just pretty things. We've got this new line of outdoor art. It looks like canvas, but it's actually a photograph. It looks like a painting.
Mm.
You can have them inside, but they are fully weatherproof. You can hang them up outside. They're like 36-inch by 36-inch. Beautiful flower things, make beautiful gifts, houseplants, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, our technical name is Johansson's Greenhouses and Gifts. And so it's really a fun time of the year. Houseplants year-round. But we always are still a garden center. You still can come and buy topsoil from us, and you can still buy fertilizer, and you can still bring in a leaf and ask us what's wrong with it. So we're always a garden center every day of the year. And right now, we feel like a Christmas store, and it's a really fun time to be there.
Fun time to be there. And Karen, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Oh, well, it's always a pleasure. Happy holidays to you,
and to you as well. Karen Johansson of Johansson's Greenhouses in Madison. Again, we posted, we've got a link on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. You get a link right up to the greenhouse website. And always great to have her with us. She knows an awful lot. And they have a really nice store as well. So it's great to have her along.
Thank you. One thing is, our store is way nicer than our website. So go to our website. But we're plant people. We're not webmasters. So just take a peek at the website and then come on down and visit us.
And coming up on Monday, Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison joins us. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.